Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto 10, Chapter 81. The Lord blesses Sudama Brahman, texts 12, 13, and 14.
So we'll do text 12. Please repeat. Brahmanastam tu rajani. Ushitva chuta mandire. Bhuktva pitva sukham mene. Atmanam swargatam yatha. Brahmanastam tu rajanim. Ushitva chuta mandire. Bhuktva pitva sukham mene. Atmanam swargatam yatha. Brahmanastam ruttu rajanim. Ushitva chuta mandire. Bhuktva pitva sukham mene. Atmanam swargatam yatha. Vaishnavis. Word for word, Brahmanaha.
Brahmanaha.
The Brahmana.
The Brahmana.
Tam. That.
Tu.
And. Rajanim. Night. Ushitva. Residing. Achyuta.
Achyuta.
Of Lord Krishna. Mandire. In the palace. Bhuktva. Eating. Pitva. Drinking. Sukham. To his satisfaction. Mene, he thought. Atmanam, himself. Saha, the spiritual world. Gatam, having attained. Yatha, as if.
Translation. Sukadev Goswami continued, the Brahmana spent that night in Lord Achyuta's palace after eating and drinking to his full satisfaction. He felt as if he had gone to the spiritual world. So there's no purport, but I thought we'd just call attention to a couple things in the verse that we could see. Where it mentions that just to spend a moment there, it wasn't like a five-star hotel. He was in Krishna's palace, so the foodstuff, the bedstead, the environment, just because we were just going to go to the next verse, you know, like snap. So just to spend a moment there, the prasadam. So in our prasadam prayer also, it says, take to your full satisfaction. So here it also mentions that to his full satisfaction. So Prabhupada commented once on that, where he says, you can honor prasadam, or you can eat prasadam for its taste. And that can vary according to cooks and different things. But if you honor prasadam, that's when it's your full satisfaction. That's unlimited. So this word satisfaction is going to come up a couple times. So it's an interesting idea that we should understand full satisfaction, because the material world never satisfies. It can never deliver satisfaction. That's one of its unique features, that the soul never gets satisfied here. So then we'll go to text 13. Okay, I'll read the English to text 13. The next day, Sudama set off for home while being honored by Lord Krishna, the self-satisfied maintainer of the universe. The Brahmana felt greatly delighted, my dear king, as he walked along the road. So the purport to this one is, we are here reminded that Lord Krishna maintains the supply of desirable objects for the whole universe. Therefore, it is to be understood that he was about to manifest for Sudama opulence greater than Indra's, being Svasukha, perfectly complete in his own bliss. The Lord has an unlimited capacity for bestowing gifts. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word abhivandita indicates that Sri Krishna accompanied Sudama on the road for a short distance and finally parted with the Brahmana after bowing down to him and speaking some respectful words. So I just want to make sure I remember the Om Agyanta Nirvandas Janajana Salata Chaksum Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Matir Gati Matsara Svapatambo Jo Radha Madana Mohan. So we see a little bit more about Krishna here, that he didn't just say bye, he walked them for some distance. And what else did he do? He honored them, offered his obeisances, and then speaking some respectful words. So now Sudama, he's with Krishna. He was thinking of Krishna the whole time he was going there. He was embraced by Krishna. Krishna held his hand. They reminisced. He took some prasadam a couple times. He slept there. He got up the next morning. Everything, he felt he was in the spiritual world, and that's in his mind. And one of the little things that sometimes I think of, I guess I'll mention it, it's just kind of funny that now he's walking towards home. So text 14 says, although he apparently received no wealth from the Lord, Sudama was too shy to beg for it on his own. He simply returned home feeling completely satisfied to have had the Supreme Lord's audience. So one of the things that popped into my mind, which was just maybe something other people could identify with, is while his wife sent him there to do something, his wife says, here's the list. Now when you go, you ask Krishna for something, you know, I hardly have enough to take care of you. So he's thinking about going to see Krishna. He's walking there the whole time. I'm going to see Krishna. Imagine you're going to see Krishna. What are you going to be thinking about? You're going to be seeing Krishna. And then you're with Krishna. And then Krishna praises you. You're just completely absorbed. So now he's walking home. So what does he think of when he's starting to walk home? My wife. Oh, I forgot to ask. I was so absorbed. I forgot all about what I was... I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody here or not. My wife asked me to pick this up. Anyway, so when that entered my mind, I thought it was something that could happen. And but Krishna, just like Maya says, hey, I got you covered in the material world. And I throw you and cover you. But in Krishna says 9:22, he says, I'll carry what you lack and I preserve what you have. So Krishna says, I took care of it. You know, I could see what was happening here. So Krishna, he already took care of everything. And there was one nice point that I wasn't sure if we brought up or not, so I was going to bring it up. I brought the book, but I left it in the car. Was how come Krishna never gave Sudama anything before? Like, why was he living like that? Devotees generally aren't in that kind of condition. So it points out, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that some devotees are actually adverse to sense gratification. You ever try to give some, you know which devotees are like, you try to give them something, no, I'm not going to do that, you know, I don't want any of that, because that's their mood. They don't like sense gratification. They're thinking, I'm too fallen. As soon as I get any, I'm going to just think. So they're actually adverse. So what happens if you happen to be the wife of one of them? You have to... She's a very chaste wife. So she's also in that same condition. So, of course, we're understanding Sudama. He's actually always with Krishna. Even when they're separated, he's always with Krishna, because, if you looked at it from this angle, a lot of verses, there's a 512, a 10, maybe 10.4, 10.88, 4, it says that this whole material manifestation, it manifests from subtle to gross. So the first element that in the material nature is the false ego. And then the earth, water, fire, air, everything, that was backwards, but everything comes from the false ego. So since Sudama doesn't have a false ego, he doesn't need to have anything manifest, because he's not living in an extension of the false ego. He's living in a spiritual consciousness, and he's with Krishna. And just like another verse that supports that would be, 11.2.42? Bhakti, yeah, you got to get running starts for everybody. That's what we're talking about. So, in other words, this, it says three things happen simultaneously. He has devotion for Krishna, and that gives him direct, you can't get much more direct perception of Krishna than Krishna hugging you. That's certainly direct perception of Krishna. And he's indifferent to everything else. So he's completely indifferent. So part of this, I was just noticing, is that the unsung hero is actually the wife. She's the one that asked him to go. She's the one that did it for her service, to take care of her husband by her chastity, this whole event was taking place, you know, but they're so shy and chaste, she's referred to as the wife. That's it. But the Vedic culture was so designed like that, that power. And we see other people with a similar way of when the Nagapatnis were praying for Krishna, Krishna was controlled by the Nagapatnis and acted appropriately to their desire for Kaliya. And then there's other persons that once they saw Krishna, what did they remember after seeing Krishna? We have Dhruva Maharaj. He had a desire. Remember his desire? He just wanted a little something, a kingdom greater than his grandfather's, greater than the whole universe, greater than Lord Brahma. But then when he saw Krishna, what was it again? You know? he said, I was looking for some broken glass, you know? So when Krishna has that effect on people. And then we're also seeing, is Krishna present? How about for us? Where do you find Krishna? Where can you see Krishna now? Is Krishna present any place? Is Krishna ever actually not present? What's the influence that makes you think that Krishna's not here? There's only one thing that does that. And when she's behind the back instead of in the front, then you're with Krishna. So where do we see Krishna? Where can we see Krishna right now? How about anybody know where they can see Krishna right now? Come on. Oh, Radhamdar. Oh, he's right there. He's standing right there on the altar. Who can't see Krishna? How about there's a nice purport to 1344, the first line of the purport in 1344. We can look at that one. Yeah, maybe. Who's going to do it? In case people don't memorize these things, a couple things that are special. You know the verse too? 1344. I heard this with what kind of it? That could be it. Okay. Well, anyway, it says, he's usually pretty quick about that. The first line of the purport is, first line. Well, what's it say? One can certainly what? See directly. So this anupashyati, we're seeing by hearing the Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam, Krishna is present there, this Bhagavat Darshan. In fact, you know, there's six philosophies and they call them darshans, right? So we're having Bhagavat Darshan. We're seeing, or Krishna is seeing us. And then it's just like when one lives in this condition where he's always keeping. We had a nice thing we were reading this morning, how Krishna is in the heart. We've all heard that. He's present all the time. All the time he's with us. He doesn't do anything. Well, he's doing a lot of things simultaneously, but he's always with us in the heart, and we're learning how to associate with him. We said, where else do we associate with Krishna besides the deity, besides with Bhagavatam? Anybody think of anything else? There we are. So the holy name. So Krishna says, I'm always there for you. Note anytime, day or night. But there's a little condition there on that Trinada piece in Echena. So there's I don't know, that's kind of a long one. But there's a nice verse, 3:28-38, that right now we're being distracted by the modes of nature. But it's just the modes of nature. Like there's a 3:5, we're being forced to act always by these modes of nature. And then there's a 3:27, I think it is, that we think we're the doer, but it's actually going on by the modes of nature. So if that's not us, then what are we doing? Most of the time, we're said that we're dormant, in a dormant state. So self-realization, jiv jago, is waking up. Waking up means not getting distracted anymore by the modes of nature. So Krishna says that right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, how, what do you have to do not to be distracted? He says, because you can really get going with these modes of nature. You give the modes an inch, they take a mile. You know, you have to be really careful. So what's it say? 2:14 and 15. I always like those. 2:14, 15 says, Supmata sparsa sakuntaya. Sukha dukkata. One has to learn to tolerate it without being disturbed. And then the next verse says, if you can actually tolerate without going back into the modes of nature, then Krishna's there. Now, if we go to, did I read 14? I think I read it. Where was it? I thought it was 14. So apparently, I didn't read 14. That's where it was. I was getting ahead of myself. Although he had apparently received no wealth from the Lord, Sudama was too shy to beg for it on his own. He simply returned home feeling perfectly satisfied to have had the Supreme Lord's orders. I did read it. All right. So there was, I remember someplace reading it. Great delight that he was Krishna. He's always having for, maybe it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He says that he makes things new, always new for the devotee. It's always new. Where was that? Somewhere around there. I remember reading. I was basing the idea on that making things always new. But so I was going to mention how Krishna makes things always new. A 4:30:20, if Keshva can put me up a 4:30:20, that this is what happens. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, it takes you to Sarvadhamma Pratyaja. So now we're in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, so we're supposed to already be functioning on Bhagavad Gita surrender. So I was noticing a couple things, that knowledge, it doesn't get activated until surrender's added to it. You can have knowledge, but it doesn't function until surrender. You add surrender to knowledge, then it activates. And in that surrender, there's accepting and rejecting things favorable, accept those things favorable, reject things unfavorable, and one moves along. So when he gets to the Bhagavatam, he's already supposed to be at Nishta. Because Bhagavad Gita Sarvadhamma or Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. So he's got this Brahma Bhuta stage where he's at Nishta. But then at Nishta, that's where you still got four more to go after Nishta. What's the next one after Nishta? Ruchi. So what's the verse in the Bhagavatam, the third verse? So what are you supposed to do with this Bhagavatam? You're supposed to relish this Bhagavatam. So if you're slack in your Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta, then it won't have that same effervescence. So I think you put up 4:30. Which one you got up? Could you read it? It's hard for me to turn. Yes, there's an ever fresh in there.
Always engaging in the activities of devotional service,
he surrendered.
Devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as a Brahman position by the advocates of the absolute truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma Bhuta situation.
So at that point, he's on the other side of Raja River. He's made it. He's got the basic part of self-realization now, Nishta. But there's still a couple little things that are being done. So in this Ruchi platform, we see that, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that 25, 265, it says, Krishna conscious means he's six things. It's such an easy verse to remember. Even I got that one. It says, Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, sara, bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva, are. So the Krishna conscious means these six things. So we're understanding the truth about Krishna. How do you understand that? You understand it through bhakti, bhakti mama bijananti. That's how you're understanding it. And now, because we're in the 10th canto, these are, to fully relish this, you should have the Bhagavad Gita in a functional state, you know, where you're surrendered, you understand why, how, all those specific things. There's like a 15.5. There's so many verses. The whole Bhagavad Gita is about bhakti and bringing you to that position. So generally, Prabhupada would have Bhagavatam in the morning and Bhagavad Gita in the evening, and that was our sandwich. The way it goes, however, that the Bhagavad Gita class isn't so prevalent anymore. So you still have to study at home. You still have to be learning this. You have to go through it like Vaisheshika. He has his chat where you have to read a chapter a day. Do you still do the whole Bhagavad Gita and riding to work? And so one nice devotee here, Hari Purana, he says the whole Bhagavad Gita every day. When he drives to work, he just says the whole Bhagavad Gita. So, I mean, these are, we can't leave this out because this is our platform of consciousness. If you do, then as time goes on, you're wondering, how come this material desire is still there? How come this is happening? This is that? Because this is our requirement. We have to always be established on surrender because these are all relishable. This is meant to, because when it's ever fresh, that material nature is, it's dead. The material energy is dead. We're actually always interacting with Krishna. Even in the material world, the material energy, it's this divine energy of Krishna. It's under his control, but it's working in a different way. It's working to throw us and cover us in the material energy. So the way to activate knowledge is by surrendering to doing, to surrender to please Krishna, anukulena, doing things favorable. So Krishna is right in your heart. So let's take a look at, for just a moment, anartis. Anybody know about anartis? I have experience with this. So this is such a wonderful time. This is where you get to repeat what you've learned. This is, you're building up your credit. You know, if you get a credit card, they start you off at maybe $200. They'll see if you can pay it back. So Krishna will give you a little knowledge. You're not this body. This body is based on the false ego. The false ego is based on exploiting me, my material energy. It's all adverse to Krishna. It manifests in the form of the bodily conception of life and sense gratification. So I'm going to explain all that in the Bhagavad Gita. He explains it all. And then here it says, you actually become adverse, devotion, direct experience, and indifferent to material energy happen all three simultaneously. So as we're chanting, we're asking Krishna, please engage, well, actually asking Radharani, please engage in Krishna's service. So as we're doing that, the material energy, it has its service. It has to do something. So it's going to present to you the lessons in the Bhagavad Gita to see if you learned them. Did you learn what to do when sense gratification comes into your mind? What are you supposed to do? Think about it for a long time? What happens if you think about it for a while? You have 1 or 2 seconds. That's it. And then if 1 or 2 seconds, because you couldn't help that part, right? It popped into your mind. Okay, now your intelligence is supposed to come out and see what's going on here. You just had a thought of sense gratification. Okay, if I just leave this alone and don't do anything, it has its own potency. I'm going to start thinking about it. I'm going to start thinking, hey, this is kind of nice. I bet I could enjoy this thing. I'm going to try to get some. And then before you know it, you can forget everything. You lose your intelligence and you just fall back in the material pool again. So within that 2 second time, that's when the intelligence comes out, but it comes out. Does anybody know how the lymph system works? You know, Doc, how the lymph system works? The lymph system is part of your, what kind of system is that? Is that your immune system? Part of the immune system. So when there's something, this is going back from a movie I saw like 40 years ago called The Fantastic Voyage, but there was a contaminate, a foreign particle that wasn't recognized, and the lymph system encapsulated it. It covered it all together, and then it digests it. Ooh, is that fairly accurate? Good enough. It's complicated. General idea is, so when the thought comes in for sense gratification, the intelligence comes out and encapsulates it. And then with knowledge is the active enzyme. It digests that thought. It just gets rid of it. In fact, in the third canto, Lord Kapila Dev says that this bhakti, it digests your subtle body. It dissolves your subtle body. So this is the process of surrendering. You're rejecting it. It's being rejected from your consciousness because the consciousness now has bhakti in it. So when the bhakti comes out, it captures that thought, covers it all up, and then with knowledge, it just digests it and gets rejected. And then one moves on because that's the stage of anartha nivritti. You're given the intelligence means proper perspective, what should be accepted, what should be rejected, knowledge in the mode of goodness. So then we can see those things. So before, how can, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. You're giving this much. Let's see what you do with it. So, okay, if the bhakti element is being activated by surrender and get your knowledge working, then you know what to accept and what to reject. And then you're moving along and seeing how, like in this story, what's 3 and 4, the list of 6, Madhya 22-100. Sometimes I'll give you the first word, you can get it. Madhya Lila 22, text 100. Well, that's the question. Well, if you're paying attention, I'm talking about one subject here today in class. Six. We mentioned 1 and 2. So that was a hint. There's 6, 1 and 2 out of 6. Well, 1 is accept those things favorable. 2 is reject those things unfavorable. 3. Ah, you got it. Ah, so where do we get it up there? Oh, there it is. Could you read it once, please, for me? And maybe the Sanskrit for some people know it. And it's always nice to know these things.
Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyateti vishvaso putritve varanam tatha atma nikshepa karpanye sadvidha sharanagati. English. The 6 divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian and master, full self-surrender and humility.
So in the personality of Sudama, we see all those things that... Here, because Bhagavad Gita says, it explains how this works. Bhagavatam shows you examples of these different persons. So we can see these things. He didn't ask anything for Krishna. He just say, if Krishna wants. And even when, because most of us know how the story ends, or the part of it that's in the Bhagavatam, we didn't go back years later. It'd be nice to have a follow-up, you know, a couple years later, you go back, see how he's doing there and how things are going. So a lot of these, you know, no problem. So that He was still indifferent to it. You know, just, he didn't, you know, like when he was staying overnight, he didn't like take the towels when he left. You know, these are really nice towels. You know, it's a 5-star hotel, you know, a couple things. He puts in, wraps it up in a, you know, he's indifferent to say, because this is Krishna in Dwarka. So, I mean, we can't imagine, you know, the descriptions aren't there, but you could just imagine, this is Rukmini's palace, what this place was, you know. So Sudama, he's indifferent to it. He stays there, he leaves, he goes home. He saw Krishna, that's all he's thinking about. He was with Krishna, and that's the devotee's mind. And Krishna's with him, because when you think of Krishna, Krishna's also with you, and there's a dialogue. There, it's not that, what Prabhupada would say, Krishna is not a dull stone. He's, how could you have a more dynamic principle than Krishna? He is the dynamic principle. So we're just reading in the Brahma-Bhuta that he makes everything increasingly fresh. Now, I won't go there. All right. But there's a lot of different meanings for the word fresh, too. That, you know, Krishna is funny. He's what would they say, the life of the party, Brahma Sampradaya, you know, he's the life of the party, Brahma Sampradaya is the party, right? We're in the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, so it says it's the Sampradaya party. Anyway, he's the life of the party. And it's funny when it comes to me. It's just the way that things happen. So these clocks, they keep going. I was thinking about these clocks today. I noticed these clocks are under a lot of pressure, because a lot of times devotees, they look at these clocks and they say, it's already, the time's already up. And people are doing good these ecstatic kirtans, everybody's looking at the clock, it's got to stop soon. So the clock says, what am I to do? This is my service, you know, I'm regulated, you know. So we find these clocks almost always start slowing down, isn't it? Especially this one, it always slows down. So I'm saying it just can't handle the pressure. Okay. So ready? Questions or I can read the verses again, see if we said anything. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Brahmin spent the night at Lord Achyuta's palace after eating and drinking to his full satisfaction. He felt as if he had gone to the spiritual world. The next day, Sudama set off for his home while being honored by Lord Krishna, the self-satisfied maintainer of the universe. The Brahmin felt great delight on my dear king, as he walked along the road. It was a great delight. Anyway, after he had apparently received no wealth from Lord Krishna, Sudama was too shy to beg for it on his own. He simply returned home, feeling perfectly satisfied that he had the Supreme Lord's audience. Questions, comments? Oh, thank you. Hari Parayana Prabhu.
I generally don't ask questions like this, but I can't help it. My brain is craving for an answer today. So, we always say that everything in the spiritual world is chinmay. There is nothing material. Everything is conscious. So, I was looking at the description here. There is Krishna's bed. There are these palaces. There is the road that Sudama is walking on. Everything is supposed to be conscious. So how does one process that? Krishna is eating something, there is water being sprinkled, you know, he's washing Sudama's feet. Sudama is feeling hungry and starving, torn clothes, but everything is conscious. So related to this question is another question that I'm not able to answer very well. I get these questions in my classes. And that is a Krishna's form. So people, when I say Krishna is a person, he has a personal form, they ask me, what?
He doesn't have an insider announcement.
So do his organs have the same functions that our organs do? Like the ear, you know. People study the anatomy of the ear. There is an inner ear, there are little bones. Sound hits the tympanic membrane. There is the brain. There are blood, in the, there is blood in the veins. There is the heart that's pumping. All these things. Vision, sight, eyes, eyeball, iris. So for people, the form means function. But then I say no, because Krishna doesn't have any atoms in his body. It is pure Satchidananda Vigraha. Then why does he need a ear of that shape? Why does he need fingers? Why does he need toenails? All these things have functions in our body, you know, from a biological standpoint. Or conversely, what is the function of his organs? Then I say, you know, that they do all the functions of all the different organs. So it is confusing like anything. So maybe you can...
Well, the Sri Upanishad starts off with that he has no veins. So now, how do you have a body without any veins? How's that going to work? And then he doesn't have an inside or an outside. That's going to be a problem. And so there may be some problems that you're going to run into. So that's why Krishna says, bhakti mam abhijananti, that he's well, rahasya, you know, there's a rahasya. What's the translation of that word? This is a tough one to get, you know. This stuff is not so easy to get. He says, even a million people, maybe one can even get an idea what's going on. And then there was an argument. Was it Govinda and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Where Govinda, I think it was Govinda, was saying that this is Krishna himself. And he says, what proof do you have? Gopinath, yeah. He said, what proof do you have? So do you remember they had a discussion about that? And then Gopinath finally said something as he's kind of walking away. He said, do you remember what he said? Kind of like that. He says, unless you got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you're not going to get it. You know, do you remember how he said that? That's in the gist of it. But it was more or less, you can talk to your blue in the face. Now, when I sometimes take it seriously, when I get questions like that, then I say, can you get rid of a effect if the cause is still present? In other words, I call it the intrigue of ignorance or the intrigue of love, depending, it's the same element. In other words, why is it that you don't know something? Why is it that darkness is there? You're actually effulgent. So where is this darkness coming from? Who's imposing this darkness, and what is the reason the darkness is imposed from? Can you be, all right, you're in the swimming pool and you're starting to get a little cool. So you say, throw me a towel. What would you say to the person who's in the swimming pool and says, throw me a towel? This towel's not going to work. You have to get out of the pool. You know, so while one's in ignorance and you say, throw me some light, you have to get out of the darkness. So we have a system for that. I mean, he's accepting a teacher, but it says you have to accept him with submission and inquiry. So just like if someone came to you or and says, I want to be a doctor, and you say, okay, fill out these forms and we'll see, you know, we'll look at your past record. And he says, no, I want to be one today. Well, there's a procedure that you have to follow. You know, I don't want any foul procedure. I want just give it to me right now. I want to be a doctor. So, well, there's a procedure. So there's a process for which one understands. And of course, Krishna is so clever. What's the first element of the process of knowledge? 13, 8 through 12. What's the first one? Humility. Now, that rules out almost everybody. I mean, this material world is based on, it's called a hum tattva, I like that. That was 377. It says the living entity says, Aham Tattva. I am Tattva. I'm the truth. So the false ego, how can somebody tell me anything? I already know. I'm the Aham Tattva. So it's a process that, yes, these things will be understood, but they're understood, it's gradually understood because it's a secondary function. Knowledge isn't the primary function. It's a secondary byproduct. And I just recall once when I was in the National Guard, it was a long time ago, in 1967, and we had this thing where they were explaining us how to see at night. So they're explaining that you're in your eye, you have rods and cones. So during the day, you see by the cones, and at night, you see by the rods. But the rods have a flat spot on the end of them that doesn't have any sensors on it. So if you look directly at something, it disappears. So it says, in order for you to see something at night under low ambient lighting, if you can't look directly at it, you have to look 15 degrees off, and then it comes into the side of the rod, and then you can see. So I've always thought that was kind of fascinating, but as soon as you do that, then you straighten up to look straight again because of your habit, and then it disappears again. So you get back and forth. It's fun. But anyway, so this Krishna is a little like that. If knowledge, generally people want knowledge because it brings power, control, satisfaction. But the knowledge in Krishna consciousness is how to please Krishna. It's bhakti, how to become situated in your constitutional position, how to be separate, recognize the modes of nature. You can recognize sense gratification, the modes of nature, which is, say, 5, 8, and 9. So those in divine consciousness, they know just the senses are engaged with the sense objects and are aloof from them. And then we have the 18, 22 through 25 with the final 26, which is Brahma Bhuyapa Kalpate. So they know this is what you don't do. This is not where you put your attention. This is to show while you're asleep to keep you busy. So and so the threefold miseries can continually kick you. But once one changes his engagement from trying to exploit the material energy to surrendering to Krishna, the modes of nature, they don't have your attention anymore. There's when Krishna said in Marta Sparsa Kunti, tolerate, they're saying you have to learn how to tolerate these modes. They come either good or bad. They have a whole grommet of ways to get you your attention in one way or another. But he says, after a while, you become completely indifferent to them. That you act, it's called dhira. Dhira stacha namuyate. And the dhira, Rupa Goswami explained, is the fourth stage. There was four stages, he explained. And the first stage is sama, S-A-M-A. And he says that's more or less like Vasudev Sarvamiti. That basically you've concluded, now you've understood, at least theoretically, there's spiritual energy, material energy. I belong to the spiritual energy, not to the material energy. This material energy works a particular way. I know how it works now. I don't want to get involved with it. Three things happen simultaneously: devotion, direct perception, and you will become indifferent. So you're learning, how do you tolerate it without getting involved with it? Because if you use Maya to get out of Maya, you know what happens? You don't get out of Maya. Maya just, it's one of these Chinese finger, finger cuffs. They put it on it, and the harder you pull to get out, the stronger it grabs you. He said, but if you just relax, you can just take your hand. So the thing is to not get involved with the modes of nature by being involved in devotional service. So anytime the modes come in and try to agitate you, then you take shelter. We're learning how to take shelter, the holy name, Hare Krishna. I want to be engaged in Krishna's internal potency to please him. So they said, are you sure? How about this? How about that? Well, okay, I'm going to have to think about that for a while. So then you become inattentive and you can become confused and why this is not working. And then it can turn into offense. You can become overly attached to, and you lose your intelligence. And the whole thing can sweep you. I call it being thrown for a loop. The loop is samsara. It's a cycle. Since he already left, then I guess I took too long to answer his question. Any other questions or comments? Oh, we got one. Sorry. Those clocks are in trouble again.
Just a little comment. Yes. Besides being adverse to sense gratification.
Oh, you mean neutral.
Sudama, his role particularly depicts that satisfaction in Krishna consciousness does not depend on how much money you got.
That's good. Because that Lakshmi Chanchala, she's flickering. So you would be flickering if you were dependent on that. So we learned that. He also left. I'm really going too long. There's that the 1919 is that right now these anarthas. This is how Krishna is interacting with us. He's interacting. Let me see what you did with that. You got $200 credit on your card here. Let me see what you've done with this. Now when sense gratification comes into your mind, let me see what you do with it. Can you, you're going to embrace it? You think, well, if I could only do it like this, I could get a good deal. How much do we interact with it, or how much can we apply knowledge to it by activating, by surrender, that digest the subtle body? And then we're finished with it. So we have to learn to, it's something like making flour. You add flour and then you put water in it. Now what do you make? What do you make when you put flour and water together? No, it's just a big puddle of mess. What do you have to do? You have to do something. What do you have to do? You got to take one piece and push it into the other piece and take the other piece. They call kneading it, right? So everybody needs dough. So as opposed to your economic development, you just need one verse into the next verse into the next verse, and you need these verses so that they all become a nice palatable dish that you can offer. So you have to take each piece of knowledge and integrate it into the other ones. You don't just keep them in separate little categories. You have to work them back and forth. And that's what we do with Association of Devotees. We just need the verses back and forth. 10-9, what's it, 10-9? Mat chitta mat kata pranam. So that's what devotees do. And then, of course, you have to consider the source. But that was 10-8. All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.